to the cattle markets we go. Darrell Peel is on the line with us once again. Darrell, as you well know, is a livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University. We'll glance back at the trade trends last week and some other items, particularly on the beef trade side. But as we recap the market action last week, Darrell, it's still fairly healthy, this market, although there was a notable fall off on Friday in the futures trade.
Yeah, I think we're seeing some short-term tops in this market, the futures market, as well as the cash market, at least for Fed cattle. Both look like they've probably put in a little bit of a top. Now, that's sort of the bad news, I guess, is that we probably are coming down off of those highs a little bit. The good news is I think we got higher than we ever expected to be before that happened. So we're still in pretty good shape, but it does look like this thing has turned around just a little bit.
And the hope is that this is not the peak, that we won't see this market hit reverse gear anytime soon.
Well, again, on the cash market, I think, we'll probably pull back a little bit from these recent highs, but we're still in the, pretty strong fourth quarter seasonal mode. And then as we move into the first part of next year, we would look for additional seasonal strength in this market. So, I don't see this as a major change in trend. The futures market, frankly, has been stronger than I expected for quite some time, and it's pushed higher recently, even more so. So, again, I'm not too surprised to see it pull back a little bit, but this may be just a relatively small technical correction. I think it's way too early to see whether we see sort of a fundamental change here in this market, in terms of liquidating the long position that's out there right now.
And specifically to the feeder cattle trade, looking at the auctions, by and large, there seems to be still a favorable tone to those prices.
Well, again, I think it's been a surprising fall. We didn't see a lot of seasonal downtrend in prices. They dropped very little through September and most of October. And then recently, they actually have gone back up. Again, that's probably defying the odds. I don't expect that to continue. We may still yet see a little bit of seasonal pressure, although we're already well into November, and usually those lows are in before Thanksgiving. So I think we're, again, holding at a level that's probably a little higher than anybody expected. And, I don't expect it to keep going up, but I don't really see any serious weakness imminent in this market.
Have to ask, you've had rain down in your neck of the woods in Oklahoma. We have interest in what's happening with wheat pasture cattle demand. Have we seen that start to tick up a bit?
Well, I've actually traveled across much of central and western Oklahoma in the last week or two, and as you look out there, most of the wheat is up, but a lot of it is still very small. I don't see a lot of cattle out on wheat, stockers on wheat. A few cows are out on wheat in some cases, but I think the stocker cattle, though, are out there. I think we've had good forage this fall, both in quantity and quality, really, because of those late summer and fall rains that we had, and obviously the prices would suggest there's been demand for these stocker cattle. I think what producers have done is kind of stockpile these calves and put them on other forage. They're not so much out on wheat yet, but it's coming on. And to your point that the conditions are there, the wheat looks like it will develop pretty quickly. So I think the cattle are being, obviously being received and going through that process, but they're on other forages right now until the wheat's ready.
So you're saying that the stockers for wheat pasture purposes have been secured. We likely won't see any kind of bump at the local auctions to that effect.
I don't know that we have enough bump to take it even higher yet. And again, we're late enough now that we probably won't see the bulk of the fall low kind of seasonal pressure. The volumes have been bigger than last year, consistent with the idea that we have a bigger calf crop out there. I think we've run many of those cattle through the auctions here recently. So the short answer is I think there's still a bit more demand that will keep this market in pretty good shape.
All right. Do want to give a nod here, Darrell, to the USDA's crop production report. It came out this past Thursday, and among the many indicators from those numbers, there's a healthy corn crop out there, surprisingly so to some in terms of the average yield that the USDA was calling for. All of it suggested that corn prices may well remain suppressed for some time, and that does have to be an ongoing positive for the cattle sector, and particularly feeding returns.
Absolutely. We do anticipate that we're going to continue to see very favorable cost of gain at the feedlot level. Feedlots have a tremendous incentive to be feeding something. And one of the things that we're always interested in then is sort of what are they going to feed? How are they going to feed them? And, you know, one of the concerns of cheap corn or cheap feed is that we could get into a situation where we overfeed cattle and create weight problems on top of bigger numbers. That's not happening right now. As we well know, the carcass weights are seasonally peaking right now, but they're well below year-ago levels. Feedlots have continued to move these cattle, and that's what's important here is not only do we have this favorable cost of gain, but we also have the right incentives at this point in time for the feedlots to continue turning those animals over quickly. So they're feeding and reloading with lightweight cattle, but moving them out in a very timely way on the back end and not creating additional problems that way.
Well, let's look at the USDA's latest report on beef exports. And the general appearance of those numbers is that they're in keeping with the ongoing friendly nature of our beef business abroad.
Absolutely. You know, again, I think if you had to put a banner on 2017 for cattle markets in a very broad sense, you'd say it's been a surprisingly strong year. And underneath that is because demand has done a lot to offset what we knew was going to be a bigger supply situation. And that demand has been not only in the domestic market, where I think demand has been pretty good, but in this export market. You know, in the month of September, which was the latest data that we got, exports were up 14%. For the year to date, they're up about 14.5%. Well, in fact, on a year-to-date basis, they're up in all of our major export markets to varying degrees. And so we're seeing pretty consistent benefit here and boost in that total demand picture from these beef exports.
And what's happening in China, bringing that up because there was an announcement that a major Chinese retailer signed a deal with cattle producers out of Montana looking to bring in quite a volume of beef from that source over the next 3 years. And one wonders and certainly hopes that this may be the tip of the iceberg in regard to Chinese interest in U.S. beef.
Well, that's right. You know, we're in the early stages of this rather recent access that we have to the Chinese market. There's certainly tremendous potential there. These kinds of announcements are a good sign that we're going to realize growth in that market. I still think it takes a little bit of time, partly because, you know, there are restrictions on the access that we have in terms of the kinds of cattle that qualify or the kinds of meat that qualifies, and that has implications all the way down to the production system in terms of not using implants and beta agonists and things like that. So I think the supply constraints will moderate how fast it can grow, but these kinds of announcements are very positive in terms of the potential going forward and the interest that's there for this to be a significant. I think there's tremendous potential for China to become one of our top export markets, you know, not quickly necessarily, but certainly in the next 3 to 5 years.
Now, not to throw a damper on things, but we do have to acknowledge as well this continuing anxiousness over what will become of the North American Free Trade Agreement and if the U.S. is, in fact, on the precipice of withdrawing from NAFTA. Your latest thoughts on that, and it's well expressed by many, including yourself, that this could harm the U.S. cattle sector if, in fact, we drop NAFTA on this end.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. From the beef industry in particular, NAFTA has been quite beneficial for us. We have as good a conditions as you have. There's really nothing to improve in terms of renegotiating NAFTA from a beef industry perspective. And so the attitude all along, of course, has been that we do this process, and whatever we try to fix on other areas, let's make sure we don't mess this up. Politics is impossible to predict, but it looks to me like there's certainly a credible risk here that we do pull out of NAFTA, and that would not be good for the beef industry. You know, now the one thing that has changed over the course of NAFTA is that we have a very integrated trade system, particularly with respect to Mexico. When NAFTA was negotiated, you know, really we imported Mexican feeder cattle as we have done for 100 years, and that was the majority of the trade. It was later in the 90s when Mexico became a significant buyer of U.S. beef, and so they became a major export market. And then more recently, they've become a significant exporter of beef from Mexico, and much of that comes into the U.S. So we have this integrated bilateral situation, which is much like what we've had with Canada for quite a number of years. And so the impacts could be very broad-based across all of those trade flows. And the net effect, again, it's not clear what it would be, but it would certainly be negative.
Stay tuned. And just finishing up with this, as a matter of fact, you are heading this week to Mexico on behalf of Oklahoma State University, and you may have a chance to make some firsthand observations from that end of the NAFTA spectrum.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be back down there. I have a lot of colleagues that I've worked with down there. I will be in Chihuahua, which is in the middle of a major beef-producing area. So, yes, we will certainly be looking at all of these kinds of issues, as well as getting a feel for the conditions in Mexico right now as it pertains to the cattle industry.
Well, when we visit again here in a few weeks, we'll tap you for some of those things that were being expressed down south of the border in regard to our trade with that country. And we always appreciate your input on the markets, Daryl. Good travels, and we'll talk again soon.
Very good. Talk to you soon.
He is Daryl Peel out of Oklahoma State University, livestock economist there and visiting with us about the current cattle trading trends here on Agriculture Today.